It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Like Ernest Hancock says, we're not afraid, but we're a little bit concerned here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy. I'm tan, rested, and ready back at it after our little six-minute break. And on the line with me, I have J.T. Waldron, the director of the film called Fatally Flawed. The problems are inside, the solutions are outside. And I also, my friend Drew Phillips came in, just happened to stop into the studio, and he also has a film credit on the film Fatally Flawed. So I asked him to please come on and, give his two cents about this situation. You know, and on the back cover it says Fatally Flawed is a true detective story about a $2 billion transportation plan passed under suspicious circumstances in Pima County, Arizona. Watch the events unfold through the eyes of seasoned attorney and activist Bill Reisner as it becomes evident that what appeared to be a public mandate to expand city roads was a likely case of election fraud. And, I think that's pretty much been proven. But the thing is this is not something that is a isolated incident. So, and the people that are the people in this film are also involved in a lot of the elections that we had just yesterday that are coming up to the general election November 2nd. I'd like to welcome JT to the show. Are you there with me, brother?
Yes, Jet. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And how you doing, Drew? You here?
Howdy, Jet.
All right,
nice
what's up?
Nice to hear you on the radio, man.
Yeah, nice to hear you, brother. So, JT, tell us a little bit about yourself and about this film. I talked to you on Ernie's show, and I tell you what, I was so riveted that I missed the whole first segment of the show because, you know, the board operators were, I was so wrapped into studying the film that, the board operators over at the other network were trying to contact me, and I was just so into it. And, we've had a laugh about it since, but, it really is that good of a film. So please give us a little bit of bio on yourself and, you know, about the film.
Well, thank you. I have a small video and film production company in Tucson, Arizona, where we do a lot of local business commercials and things like that. I happen to be on a street where it turned out that the actual $2 billion plan that wound up being rigged involved bulldozing the property I was currently operating out of. So this caught my attention right away because even though they had it already on the ballot, they never warned the people about this as it was going down. So my attention, later was caught by the court case when it turned out the Pima County Elections Division refused to disclose or hand over public records. These were the electronic database files. This culminated into a two-year legal battle, which the Democratic Party, the plaintiffs looking for these records, they ultimately won with the help of Bill Reisner and many of the election integrity activists that were hot on this case. And what we're finding, just on a statewide, we have the same situation. It's business as usual.
So this was nothing new.
Yeah, and the same people now are operating with impunity, not only in Pima County, but the fourth largest voting district up in Maricopa as well. The movie itself sort of takes the audience sort of through the whole process of attempting to get justice through one measure after another. And it doesn't attempt to sort of editorialize or things like that. It just shows things. No, there's no talking head interviews. There's no voiceover in this approach.
Well,
so
it's
the whole
just
idea
the truth,
is
the raw truth.
Getting just the straight up raw footage back to back. It's sort of like it was inspired by the Vietnam documentary Hearts and Minds.
Well,
all it showed was simple back to back footage. And when you edit it together in a particular way, it tells a story.
You know, it told me a story, and it told me that I don't think I'm going to waste my time voting anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, fortunately, there's a lot of people that I guess you could say are now wasting their time trying to get fair elections back in place. But we're in a country now, across, you know, we had a huge primary election that just took place in many areas of this country. We don't even have one ballot that has not been, not one ballot was counted by a human being. It's all electronic.
Yeah, Drew was, there's a video actually up on today's listing for on Freedom's Phoenix for today's show. This shows a video that Drew Phillips put up just yesterday regarding the elections. So can you talk a little bit about that, Drew?
Well, yeah, I got to hang out with two of the guys that are featured in the film, Jim Marsh and John Brakey. And Jim, an active libertarian observer, tried to actually do something a little bit radical, not too radical, but he was ready to get arrested. He was prepared to get arrested. So when we heard that, Nick and Alma and some others, we said, oh, we'll come and film that. You know, we'll see if we can go oppose the man. And what they were trying to prove was, or show, rather, is that at the end of the day, at 7 o'clock, you have a legal right to go inside the poll and observe after the closing of the polls. You can take pictures. You can photograph. So long as you don't photograph voters, all the voters have to have left the polling place. And they're supposed to do an end-of-day count where they publicly read what the total from that precinct is. And John Brakey was at one precinct here in Phoenix. We went with Jim to this precinct in Mesa, and they did not read the results of that polling place. There were actually three polling places in that one location. And so we were just trying to show that and document that fact. So the video was kind of raw and just kind of shows the antics of going through this process. And Jim didn't get out of line, but the woman who was running the poll, she was none too happy about our involvement and coming down with, you know, three video cameras and, you know, in her opinion, sticking our nose in her business. But it's our business because this is supposed to be a public process, and we just wanted to observe that and see if they would give us what they're legally obligated to do, the results of that polling location. And they did not. So the video is kind of long-winded. And you had a nice comment about it this morning, Jed. But I did that last night just to make sure I got it up so it would be out there for people to see. And you know,
she's the Chuck Huckleberry of, you know, your YouTube video. That's the Chuck Huckleberry in his film. Can you tell us a little bit about that, JT? And he made someone famous last night. Drew did, and it's this polling lady that was just like, you could just see the. You know, she was just trying to do whatever she could to deflect attention away from herself and to not allow these guys to, look at the results of the election. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Certainly, yeah. It's amazing. Chuck Huckleberry is the chief administrator of Pima County. And as a result, he's also in charge of the Pima County Elections Division. It was Chuck Huckleberry initially during the electronic records request that suggested to the other people to plead the fifth, do not talk with any investigators concerning the issues of because at that point in time, as the case went underway to get these electronic record files, they spoke with the Attorney General Terry Goddard and tried to get him involved as well, and they were informed to plead the fifth.
You mean Terry Goddard that just got the Democratic nomination for governor?
And unopposed. I mean, that's the biggest sin in this whole thing. I mean, this guy's just, they couldn't come up with a better candidate. They had plenty of time, especially after knowing the shenanigans that Terry Goddard had pulled with the RTA election. He did it twice. There was the first time when he creates this investigation from an outside independent group to look at our elections and records to see if there's any wrongdoing. That turned out to be skewed. That turned out to be wrong. And we knew it. The Democratic Party knew it. The main players there understood that this was a whitewash. yet they still elected, you know, they still, the party machine just continues to go. They want the name recognition. They chose Terry Goddard, and nobody opposed him. So, yeah, there he is. Here he is now against another gem for election integrity, Jan Brewer, the woman who continued, you know, stonewalled and continued to allow electronic voting machines that are even, like, so outdated they're in violation of state law to continue to operate in the state of Arizona. So it's an interesting dynamic. And Huckleberry over at Pima County, I mean, boy, we keep bringing up, you have testimony that that was brought out by elections worker Robbie Evans.
That's okay. Hold that thought, JT.
Okay.
When we come back on Declare Your Independence, Nurse Hancock, we're going to jump back into this. This is pretty interesting because this is not just going on here and just in Arizona. It's going on around the nation in your area. We come back. We'd love to hear from you. 800-866-9867, 866-986-NEWS. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. There's Hancock. I have no idea what music that is, but it's pretty zesty. Anyway, we got JT Waldron and Drew Phillips here. JT Waldron's on the line, and Drew is in studio with me, and we're talking about Fatally Flawed and how elections are rigged all around the country. And just quickly, I want to go to Drew, and you had something that you wanted to say about, another example of how it's not just in Arizona that we're talking about. This is going on around all over the nation. So please go ahead.
Well, for starters, the music is the Johnny Quest theme song.
Oh.
But anyway, real quick, because we're talking, this is kind of our post-election show here, and we just had the primary yesterday, and there's a lot of activism involved with the elections that were also going on. Like I was saying, John and Jim went and kind of tried to cause a controversy yesterday at the polling place and get arrested. But they do have a lawsuit out that they initiated. You know, I think they got wise. You know, usually they sue after the election and say something foul happened. This time they're suing before the election saying something foul is going to happen, and we have proof this time. So, and again, that's what Jim was trying to prove and show yesterday with his shenanigans in the polling place. But, I want to take this, somewhere else because JT was involved in this, but John and Jim, the investigators, went to Boston, to Massachusetts, after the election of Scott Brown, the person who took Ted Kennedy's former seat. And there were some, I thought, some really fascinating stories, because I've learned a lot, especially from you, JT, and your film, and from John and Jim about this issue and a lot of the specifics. But then you take that and what you've applied here in Pima County and in Arizona, and you take that to a whole other state, and you find some interesting things. So I wanted to know if you could talk about what was found in Massachusetts, JT.
Well, interesting. The same was found in Massachusetts, was also found in like four or five. It was confirmed that there are four or five other New England states that incorporate this same system. And the problem with this system is that you go to the Boston's Elections Division, they don't even know what a database file is. They don't work with them. They don't handle the electronic files to tabulate and find the results for each election. They allow a contractor to come in and calculate those figures for them.
A private contractor.
Right. A private contractor, which is ES&S.
Wow.
So here we have ES&S, a private contractor, is coming in. We're asking the Boston Elections Division, who, the taping laws are different, so we couldn't really sneak a camera in. We had to ask permission, because if we ever revealed we recorded in that state, we'd be thrown in jail. Some states are like that. Fortunately, Arizona's not. But what we did discover was that they didn't know what a database file was because they never handled them. They left it up to the vendors. And ironically, what was discovered about 2 days ago in Maricopa Elections Division was a Sequoia employee sitting with a laptop inside the tabulator, central tabulator for Maricopa County, the fourth largest elections division, fourth largest number of voters in one section in the United States. It's got Ethernet cable hooked up to it, on the same laptop that he has the Ethernet cable hooked up, this Ethernet cable hooked up to the central tabulator, they have a modem transmission card on the other side. And as soon as it was discovered, first of all, it's illegal to have that after the computers are initially tested before they happen. It's illegal to have anybody hooked up to that central tabulator. Well, they had this guy sitting there. The person who spotted it, I think it was Brakey, he turns around and asks, hey, who's that guy there with the computer? Oh, yeah, that's a contractor with Sequoia voting systems, which are the machines that Maricopa uses. And he's like, well, what's he doing? Would you mind if I ask, you know, what's happening? He goes back, talks to some people, talks to his boss, probably Karen Osborne and stuff. Immediately is like, no, I can't be involved with this. I can't talk to you at this time. My instructions are just to, you know, ask you to leave. So that was a circumstance where, you know, we're seeing vendors intervening, even in Maricopa, illegally against the law. And nobody, you know, they're refusing to allow them to take pictures of this computer, of this person in the tabulator room, even though the pictures are being taken from behind glass. Well, I didn't mean to go back to Maricopa. The problem is, even in Massachusetts, what was discovered was, again, the vendors seem to be controlling the elections, seem to be involved with this. And, again, you have contractors that are picking up every form of government function these days, and not with good results at all. I mean, they're trying to do that with the PRISM systems as well. But
it's working for them. It's just not working for us that are, and we're the ones left to pay for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, yeah, like, I was looking. There was actually an article that I found in Truth Out that basically talks a lot about your film, but I didn't see where it named it by name. But a lot of the same people that you were talking about are referred to, like Bill Reisner and John Brakey. It's called "Our Arizona's Political Leaders Deliberately Blocking Electronic Voting Machine Transparency."
Answer yes.
And yeah. I think that's what your film decisively proves. And
yeah.
So have you seen that article?
Yeah, and here's a particularly key point in it, too, because, you know, here it is. They're referring to Terry Goddard, who was throughout, you see it, him all over Fatally Flawed, because you see the election integrity folks saying, look, you got to look into this Pima County elections. You got to investigate this further. We'll show you where to look. Yes, it's in your power, says, you know, Bill Reisner. You can count these votes. You can look at them. You can examine them as evidence and all these things. Well, he states here, the issue has been stonewalled because, according to a local attorney wishing to remain anonymous, by implication, the AG's office ends up looking either incompetent or complicit in the cover-up. With the election just 10 weeks away, the impact it could have on Goddard's election chances to the only office he has coveted since childhood would be devastating. And that's the truth. And it's amazing to see the machines of party politics involved with this. Recently, emails have been publicly released from Pima County Democratic Party head Jeffrey Rogers. And he's out there. He's saying, all hands got to be on deck to get Goddard elected because Brewer is such a disaster. So why are you demanding from the Attorney General's office all the information concerning their paper trail and the missing poll tapes of the RTA election? So it's just amazing, and so it really demonstrates that, you know, there are those that only care about their party getting in. They don't care how they get in, and they don't seem to care about the process that really takes the process away from the people that takes the decision making.
So let me ask you, JT, you got these two characters, and again, this, you know, the election was just yesterday, the primary, you got these two characters, Jan Brewer and Terry Goddard, and you're saying that both of them have their hands in this election fraud stuff. So which one wins in the end? You know, the one who's got more hands in the election fraud?
Well, that's a good question. You know, you would think there's some SB 1070. Greg Palast had a really good point about SB 1070 and what it does for Hispanic voters. In Maricopa, especially, when it's going to be enforced by Joe Arpaio. I suspect Arpaio and his men will be very busy selectively pulling folks over if he has his opportunity to do so. And that, even if they are legal immigrants or if they, you know, have their papers and everything else, to risk being pulled over for other issues. Could be anything from a cracked windshield to not, oh, the registration's not up to date, you don't have insurance, you know, all these things. This is going to disenfranchise a certain section of voters. Voters less likely to vote for Jan Brewer.
Right.
And so this is, you know, it's a net aggregate of a bunch of different things. You know, Jan Brewer can't throw the stone of election integrity at Terry Goddard because Jan Brewer is horrible with election integrity. She's the one who introduced these machines into the state.
Well,
she's
right. And that was something that I was really surprised at. You know, I haven't really paid a lot of attention to electoral politics. You know, and all the election results come from the Secretary of State.
Right.
And she was the Secretary
Former
of
Jan
State.
Brewer.
That's right. And so when we come back, we're going to jump back into this with J.T. Waldron and Drew Phillips on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy. We'll be right back in just a minute. Again, love to hear from you. If you've heard of any of this stuff going on in your area, give us a call, 866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
This is Jet Lacy. This is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and it is August 25th, and we are talking about the election fraud that is going on all around the country. And we are talking with J.T. Waldron, the director of Fatally Flawed, as well as my friend and partner in crime when I go out and do a lot of activism, Drew Phillips. And Drew has a camera credit on this film because he's originally from Tucson and he's participated in this stuff. And he was really involved in electoral politics. And I tell you, Drew's taught me a lot about this the electoral process, and the more I know, the less I want anything to do with it. So I didn't mean to cut you off at the break, JT, but if you want to continue talking about what you were talking about, I'd really appreciate it.
Sure. We were originally, I think it was with Terry Goddard, but you mentioned it was all across the country, and it turns out in Tennessee, Beth Harris and Susan Pinshaw are going to come out with a press release if they haven't already. That's another circumstance where it's by the thousands. People are turned away at the polls. It's very similar to Florida in 2000, the felony voter list. But instead, they're just simply stating they introduced bogus registration lists that prevented many people in minority communities in Tennessee from voting. And it was just this single incident enough to affect the outcome of the elections in Tennessee. But back to, you know, what was interesting with Drew, when he was at that precinct filming Jim March, all Jim March was attempting to do was to get them to sign the poll tapes. It's something that it's required by law. He's got that on camera, and he also, the result is he's providing documentation showing that they aren't signing the poll tapes. They didn't sign the poll tapes in that particular precinct. And this is in the face of the lawyer for Maricopa County, who are facing this lawsuit. I think some of the parties are Barry Hess, Karen Johnson, John Brakey. These are citizens that are have a suit against Helen Purcell. This is going to be valuable because the lawyer on behalf of Maricopa County issued a public statement saying that they have been signing poll tapes. Brakey found the same situation where he was when he was in a precinct in Phoenix. He was telling them, look, you got to sign these poll tapes. They were rude with him. They tried to get rid of him. They said, how dare you come in, mind your own business, all this. Finally, at the end, Brakey convinced them, look, it's the law. They called up their elections, the central tabulator, and whoever was in charge over there, and he confirmed, yes, the law requires that the poll tapes be signed.
So what happens when, you know, what can be done if the poll tapes aren't signed? What is the significance for those that, might not understand?
Yeah. See, the poll tapes offer a vital auditing function when you're looking at the overall count per precinct. All these things have to add up. you always look for another means of tabulating a result besides just an overall bulk count of all the ballots. And the poll tapes are a great way of doing that. And the poll tapes, therefore, become a very important auditing function. And what part of what makes them important is you have the poll workers there signing the poll tapes, verifying that, yes, this is the authentic poll tape that was printed this night. And it's, you know, it helps in preventing fraud, one of the steps and measures. And that's why it was implemented in law.
Well, for the listeners, at these machines, at these precincts, it looks like a cash register receipt, essentially. And they call it the end-of-day count. And actually, in Pinal County, just south of here, the law requires them to take this cash register receipt-looking thing. And it doesn't say who, you know, it just says how many votes were cast, how many votes were cast for candidate A, B, and C. And then they tape it to the door in Pinal County, and you're allowed to go take pictures of it. Well, it's not, they don't put it on the front of the door here in Maricopa, but they are supposed to count it out loud and allow people to take photographs of it. And again, so just for the listeners, that's the process we're trying to document, and they won't. And like you're saying, JT, to have that piece of paper to compare to the other pieces of paper, to compare to the machine, to compare to the news, to compare to what, you know, they do down at the central tabulating downtown at MTEC, to have all these pieces, to compare them all, is just another tool for activists, and they just want to keep, you know, us in the dark as much as possible.
Sure, because it's another means of reserving the right to cheat. And Pinal County, they're amazing. I mean, that's a model of how they're doing it right. They're providing the results right away. They tape them just outside the door. People probably have looked at those poll tapes last night at the end of the election night. Apparently, they didn't get the memo.
Well, you brought up something interesting I wanted to share. We were talking earlier about how, you know, all the players involved are involved in this fraud. Terry Goddard's running for governor, Jan Brewer's running for governor, but the libertarian who you mentioned, Barry Hess, who is named in the lawsuit as one of the defendants or one of the
Helen Purcell is the county elections. She's the director or something, isn't she?
No, that's Karen Osborne.
Helen Purcell's the Maricopa County Recorder.
Recorder,
right.
Okay.
So to bring Barry Hess into this, what's interesting about his, you know, and maybe you should get him on, Jed, to ask him about this, is Jan Brewer, when she was Secretary of State, like you said, JT, she was the one who brought in electronic voting in the first place. Well, they had after HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, after 2000, when they had the big debacle in Florida, they bring in the Help America Vote Act to bring in all these electronic machines, and they get Barry Hess as the token libertarian for this blue panel ribbon, you know, to say, you know, do you guys agree that we should have this electronic voting and so on and so forth? And Barry Hess is the libertarian. You know, they only get him on there because they want a token libertarian to sign off on the thing. But, you know, by the end of the day, Barry Hess is saying, no, we should probably back away from this computer stuff. It looks like this is going to be a problem. And so it's just a very interesting governor's race shaping up in Arizona, because you have the Democrat and the Republican up to their eyeballs in election fraud. The Libertarian has a history on saying this is bad news. And so it just, to me, it's just a walking comedy show, this governor's race we have here in Arizona. It's really sad. And like you said, Jet, it makes me not want to participate.
See, I often wonder, though, is because, you know, from the movie Fatally Flawed, both of those characters are so deeply involved in the fraud that I wonder if it might not be a fair race because they'll be watching each other. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. What's strange about this whole race is Goddard's campaign tactic up until maybe a week ago. Vote for me. I'm not Jan Brewer. I mean, that's essentially what it was. Now, Brewer, according to two polls about 2 weeks ago as well, is 20% ahead of Goddard. And if you look at Goddard's website and you try to figure out, well, how do you distinguish yourself from Jan Brewer, Terry Goddard? Well, I am also tough on immigration issues. I mean, it's like he's just calling it in. I don't understand where he thinks he's just going to, I mean, it's unfounded. The confidence he has in his campaign right now is unfounded. If I were him, I'd be scrambling.
To remark on that, JT, you know, we've noticed a lot, you know, as doing a lot of ground activism here with the election cycle, hanging signs and such for particular candidates that we support. Goddard has been nowhere on the streets until, like you said, about a week ago. He's just been kind of hanging back, waiting for the primary to be over, like you said, running unopposed. And then about a week ago, and it's always that time, he hit the streets hard. His signs are out there. Terry Goddard working I really want to recall what his sign said because it made me laugh. You know, putting Arizona back to work or something, as if he's, you know, gonna. I don't know. Really interesting signage, but his campaign is really, you know, taken. You know, they're really starting to push forward, and yeah, this confidence, it really does kind of make you wonder.
Yeah, they're working or they're fighting hard, and
yeah.
So that's an anomaly in itself. Another one. Did you see the news of Rodney Glassman's campaign falling apart about a week ago?
Fell apart when he was a Tucson City Council member, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
We could get into Mr. Glassman, who is the Democrat who's running against John McCain. He just shored up the primary last night, and he will be facing John McCain. The reality of Rodney Glassman, though, JT, as you know, is this is a throwaway campaign so he can build his donor list, and he'll be the first resident of Arizona's new Congressional District 9 when we get it in 2012. But if you want to comment on that, I'd like to know what your take was on that.
I'd really like to see a comparison of the early ballots and the actual polls at the polling stations.
Well, who was his competitor?
The competitors were John Doherty, Ellen Purcell, and starts with a P, Parrish down here. There were like three or four contenders. Doherty, of course, was the one who would make very interesting debates because he brought down the Keating Five. And that involved McCain.
Oh, yeah.
And,
what hasn't
so that,
involved McCain?
That would have been a fascinating debate to watch. And he was climbing the polls pretty fast, actually, very rapidly. And this last push, you would think, would have done it for him. But, you know, despite a campaign falling to pieces, he winds up winning at the polls.
Well,
that
surprise, 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 you know,
yeah.
As Gomer Pyle might say. And when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the Revolution Continues, me, Jet Lacy, we're going to jump back into it for one more segment with J.T. Waldron and Drew Phillips. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
If you're hoping for Ernest Hancock and you're just tuning in, you're sorely disappointed at this moment. My name is Jet Lacy, but this is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And we're talking with J.T. Waldron and Drew Phillips about Fatally Flawed in their film and about election fraud in the state of Arizona, because that's where we live. But rest assured, I assure this to you that this is going on where you live. And, you know, it takes, a very, very irate minority to make changes. And that's really what we are here at the Freedom's Phoenix Studio. The people that come down here and do this activism, it's just we see these things. Like Alex Jones said, you know, you start by investigating one lie and a universe opens up. And that's really what, you know, just this in a microcosm, you started looking at one thing, something that was going on that was directly affecting you on your street, and then you found out about all this stuff, right?
Yeah, just culminated and grew into this, you know, tip of the iceberg. And you're right. Throw a dart against the map of the country, you'll find some sort of election fraud or shenanigans going on.
Election fraud is as old as elections themselves. From the moment they created an election and a vote, someone said, "Oh, we can fraud this. We can have our own white stones, you know, in the Roman Coliseum and such."
Yeah, you were saying that, you know, they found out there was fraud in five or six, you know, New England states. There's only six.
Well, there you go.
You know what I mean?
So it's strange. People get really into this professional wrestling act. I mean, they're at the edge of their seats. They're watching the results. They're blogging real time everywhere. They're like, oh, you know, and they start to speculate. Well, it was just maybe he just wasn't connecting right with the voters. Maybe he came off as too smart for the people, or you know, any of these given excuses that you find. And it's more important to, it seems, to create the illusion that popular opinion is being swayed
Well, I got to ask
one way or another. You know?
I got to ask you, JT. You know, we'll get to John McCain, who beat both of his Republican competitors. And I didn't really look at the news, like you said. Everyone's blogging real time last night. I wasn't paying attention. I was working on the stuff with Jim and John, and I didn't really look this morning. But the article, the headline, probably read something like this: Jim Deacon splits Tea Party vote and spoils campaign for J.D. Hayworth. Right? When it could have just as easily read, J.D. Hayworth splits Tea Party vote and spoils election for Jim Deacon. So it's a cover story, it's a ruse, and it's really just to convince people that the outcome makes sense to them, you know, and John McCain wins again, and oh my Lord, like you said earlier, Jet, I mean, what is wrong with this state?
Wow.
But you get what I'm saying here, JT, about they have to put out this cover story so that at the end of the day, you know, the people will rationalize what happened. But in the end, it was probably all shenanigans on the back end anyway. And not even just election fraud. You know, it's deals that they make. You know, Jan Brewer, for example, she had two very heavy competitors, Dean Martin, former treasurer, and Buzz Mills, a self-made millionaire, gave $2.1 million to his own campaign. And then they both drop out before the primary even happens, you know. So it's the way they make these deals, and they shore everything up and they align everything, and then they just got to put the cover story out there so that they can sell it to the public. And you know, like you're pointing out, at the end of the day, they're just flipping numbers on a computer screen in the main headquarters here in Maricopa.
You know, my whole thing is when are people going to stop voting for their own enslavement? That's why I did the whole first hour on liberty. And taking responsibility for our own liberties, because every time we pick two of these fools, you know, against each other, we're still voting for someone that is going to tax us, enslave us, rule over our lives. And I'm sick and tired of it.
And it still stands. It's always the richest politician that wins, be it the primary or the general. And the same thing happened here.
Yeah. And you know, McCain's got money for days, you know?
Yeah.
Some $20 million he spent on that campaign. And it ain't even over yet.
Right. And but it's strange. It's really getting to the point where this illusion is wearing thin. When you have something that's happening that's so obvious, like in their face, here in Pima County, every other day there's an email back and forth. Huckleberry, the Pima County administrator, seems to be issuing to their, you know, election integrity group and election integrity board rebuttals to my website, which is weeklyintercept.blogspot.com. That's weeklyintercept.blogspot.com. Every other day, they send out some rebuttal to what we suggest is going on or happening, and it's amazing that, honestly, that they lowered themselves to our point. And the point, I think what's happening is we're starting to break through a bit. So the only thing I could ask and hope for, even though, yes, you're right, it's hopeless and it's not a situation, let's make it difficult for them to cheat.
Raise the cost, and that's something that I've learned from you, JT, is raise the cost and make these people work for their crimes.
Right. I mean, ultimately, maybe we can somehow begin the process of unentwining the whole machine operation, you know, the use of these electronic tabulation machines and things, and move towards how Germany recently changed to hand counting, human beings hand counting with supervision. You know, it's a step closer. We can't say anything's perfect because this is as old as elections, election fraud. But, God, you can make it difficult at least.
Let me ask you a question, JT. What if they threw an election and nobody came?
Well, God, I mean.
Oh, man, I threw a zinger at you there, man. I was just kidding. But, you know,
that's the point I was trying to make. I mean, why participate in something so fraudulent, you might
right.
ask?
Yeah, I mean, I got other things I got to do. Most people that go out there and vote, okay, you have to take time out of your busy schedule doing whatever you want to do for your life to point, you know, the finger at somebody to say, I want you to, you know, be my slave master. And, but then it's all fixed anyway. So, well, I don't get it. What's the point? Ernie, the namesake of the show, ran for a Secretary of State in the state of Arizona that, you know, it's an elected position here. There is no lieutenant governor. But he wrote, still voting? That was his whole campaign platform, and he got more votes than he's ever gotten before. And because I think people are starting to get it.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, when you discourage folks from participating in the process, here's something to consider. One of the experts I talked to concerning election fraud, he was the one who initially discovered Ohio was, he discovered the disparity in exit polls in the 2004 election with Kerry. His name is Jonathan Simon. And he says, if you're going to, if you want to overcome the election fraud factor, you got to be above 20% your opponent. So
you got to be ahead more than 20%?
That vote for you over your opponent so that 20%, so that it's 20% higher. It's very difficult to use all these techniques. You know, there's a number of techniques per election that are being used to commit election fraud. That way they get caught on one or two. They can say, oh, yeah, there's mistakes that have been made, but it hasn't affected the outcome of the election. That's why we call it a net aggregate of different approaches for affecting the outcome of the election. But still, you consider, well, you know, there are times where so much popular support, just as you're describing, you know, the popular support of people, the will of the people overcoming this could be, if it's higher than 20%, you could potentially overcome election fraud. That's the theory, though.
So in the last couple of minutes we have, you know, we got to throw you a bone since you've imparted us with all your wisdom. If someone was interested in buying Fatally Flawed, how could they get a copy of it?
Right now, go to visit the website www.fatallyflawedthemovie.com. So fatallyflawedthemovie.com. Donations right now are from proceeds of the movie are they're going directly towards the legal fund, both in Pima County and in Maricopa. So any help in this direction would be much appreciated.
So that'd be great. So fatallyflawedthemovie.com.
Right.
So they can come and they can pick up a copy of the DVD.
They just pick it up. They order it through PayPal, and we send it out the next day.
Sounds great. So what's next on your horizon? What are you working on now?
This is a video about groundbreaking techniques in organic gardening.
Wow.
Because we have problems with our food supply. And what's interesting is part of the problem is the soil is dead. So there's got to be a way, means of restoring the soil. It's called the soil food web. Well, there's an organic gardening technique that requires minimal amount of labor that restores the nutrients to the soil. It detoxifies the soil and also creates then more nutritious food. Food, it restores the nutrition. And so I thought this was fascinating. I took this trip on, so. And that's called the Double Victory Garden.
Double Victory Garden? And
yep.
When is that going to be released?
3 weeks from now.
Oh, wow. That's pretty soon.
Yep.
So we'll have to get you on when Ernie's back and have you talk about it with Ernie. I wanted to say thank you so very much for coming on the show on short notice. And as always, it's a pleasure talking to you. It's been very enlightening, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, JT.
All right.
Well, when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, after the news break, we are going to jump into the election results that are going on around the country. And I've sweet-talked Drew Phillips into staying with me because he's much wiser in these ways than I am, because as a semi-anarchist, I just don't really care. And so when we get back, we're going to jump back into that on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.